What's poppin', everybody? Welcome back to another episode of On the Gutter, brought to you guys by Motive Bowling. If you haven't seen it yet, we just recently announced our brand new addition to the VIP EXJ line with the brand new Venom EXJ. This ball is incredible. I'm so stoked for this ball. Obviously, if you guys have seen EJ Tackett over the last year, he throws a lot of the Venom shocks, a lot of the Primal shocks, and he's been killing it out on tour. And this ball is a brand new addition for us. So it is the Venom mixed with some EJ's favorite stuff. So we have the Gear Symmetric Core along with the Turmoil MXC Solid Reactive cover stock, which is kind of a beefed up version from what we've seen on the Venom Shock and the Forge Flare. The Forge Flare has been one of my favorite bowling balls on heavier patterns or just longer patterns. It definitely kind of digs into the oil more. And obviously EJ has done a lot of testing with the Gear Core, with anything that has to do with a Venom. EJ's done a ton of testing and so has Motive. So this ball is guaranteed to be a knockout of the park. So if you guys are looking for the best bowling balls on the market, make sure you head on over to motivebowling.com, hit up buddiesproshop.com, or visit your local pro shop and pre-ordered the brand new Venom EXJ. Now, of course, this is DJ. I'm joined by Kurt. Kurt, what's popping?
What's up, DJ? How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. The weather just turned pretty poor here, but yeah, overall, not too bad. It kind of makes me wish I was back in out in Vegas, but yeah, overall, we're doing okay.
Yeah, big thunderstorm coming in, so gotta be careful out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we gotta get into our weeks of bowling because we had a busy couple of weeks.
We sure did. Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you guys by Manscaped. That's right, it's this time of year. It is spring cleaning time of year. And thankfully, Manscaped has got you covered with the Performance Package 5.0 to bloom your confidence like a fresh flower. That's right, in this brand new Performance Package 5.0, we have the Weed Whacker 2.0, which is an advanced nose trimmer. Obviously, the weeds are coming out after the winter, so you gotta make sure that yours are all cleaned and tamed. On top of that, we have the brand new Lawnmower 5.0. I absolutely love the Lawnmower 5.0. Comes with two blades, skin-safe technology, and it's waterproof. We know how much rain we get this time of year, so thankfully, the lawnmower's got you covered. On top of that, we have the Crop Soother and the Crop Preserver. This time of year, there's crops blooming everywhere, so make sure that yours are taken care of. Along with that, we have the brand new Shed 2.0 and the Manscaped Boxers 2.0 to keep you feeling good. So if you guys are looking to keep as fresh as a daisy, or some might say a rose, make sure you get the Performance Package 5.0.
Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions either. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus the Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or just trim up those necklines, these are the right tools for the job.
So you guys can get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com using code OTG20. That's right, everyone. 20% off and free shipping using code OTG20 at manscaped.com. It is a perfect time for a little bit of spring cleaning in your pants. Now, back to the episode. And of course, you know, our weeks of bowling, this part of the podcast is brought to you guys by Mojo's DJ Services. So if you guys have any entertainment purpose needs, make sure you head on over to mojosdjservices.com or find out Mojo's Disc Jockey Services on Facebook. Joe can get you set up. If you have any entertainment purpose needs, the weather was getting nice here. It's going to be time for some yard parties, some backyard parties, maybe some time out on a boat. So if you guys need any entertainment purpose needs, make sure you head on over to mojosdjservices.com. Joe's got a full list of bangers. He's got fireworks, he's got karaoke, whatever you could possibly need. So Kurt, what was your week of bowling like, or weeks of bowling like, I should say?
Yeah, we had a lot going on. I got in a couple practices. I also bowled league last week, which was horrendous. The entire team really, really struggled. Yeah, you couldn't find hook, and Chris and I couldn't get our balls to stop hooking, and it was just strange. It's really the only way to say it. Then I got a practice in on Friday ahead of going to the Players Tour that was in Oshawa at Leisure Lanes. And yeah, I could not have performed worse. I don't think really got my head at this one. The scores were low. It was really tough out there. I was minus 214 and the cut line was minus 37. So I had a real, real rough go. And the next day after that, Chris and I bowled in a Baker's doubles tournament. It was handicap Baker's doubles. And I said to him, I said, it can't get any worse than it was at the Players Tour. And we proceeded to come in dead last. We shot a clean 206 the first game. And I said, hey, if that's our worst game, we're going to have a good day. That was our best game of eight.
Yeah. Eight games. Okay. Yikes.
Yeah. So it really wasn't too great, but the PBA Tour was also in town, so I was able to head over there, watch our teammate Darren Alexander compete in the PTQ as long and as well as the Cheetah Championship on Monday. I went over, so
Nice.
that was a lot of fun to, sit back and watch some bowling and not have to throw the rock.
I was gonna say, did you feel like you learned anything from watching the pros during the squad and during the PTQ that maybe you're gonna be applying to your games? So that way, everything that happens Saturday, Sunday doesn't happen or happens less?
Well, I think I already knew this, but I learned you cannot miss, especially on the PBA Tour, because that Cheetah Championship, the scores were ridiculous.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I don't really think I picked up much from these guys just watching them strike fest, it was really fun to watch. But I think you had a little bit more of an exciting week of bowling, so let's hear about it, man.
Yeah, so first off, what I'll say is, if you guys have followed the podcast for a while, obviously you know that this podcast was started with myself and Mikey Slaybaugh, and Mikey just made a TV show at the Cheetah Championship. So of course we have Mikey on this week. We talk about what it was like for him to be on TV, what it was like for him to make that run in match play, to have the look that he did, to average over 240. So if you guys want a real insight, Mikey literally had his TV show, and the next day him and I did a little session here. So we're gonna have Mikey back on in a couple weeks to just kind of discuss the entire World Series of bowling and everything that he's gone through, including making the match play for the World Series championship. But like I said, we have a small interview with Mikey later on, so make sure you guys listen to that and listen to what he says about how he handled it and what it was really like for him to be a first timer on TV. But yeah, my week of bowling, you kind of summed up my league. I couldn't find Hook last week at league. It was weird. It was tough. I spoke with Trevor, the guy who does the lanes, who oils the lanes and everything like that, and just talked about how much difference there was between the pattern that we saw last week and the pattern that we've kind of been bowling on. It's the same pattern, but how it was so different because of the weather, because of the conditioner and everything like that. So, I don't really know what to bring anymore to league. I bring usually six random bowling balls, and when all six don't work, it's not a good night for DJ. But that happened. And yeah, same with yourself. We went over and watched the PTQ on Saturday, which obviously we got to see Darren and Mikey make it into the field. It was amazing to see them. I got to sit down and talk with a couple of the guys that I don't usually get to see, like, Cooley, AJ Johnson, Buttriff, and those guys, Zach Wilkins, and just got to basically hang out with some of the guys and just kind of touch base with them. And it's always fun hearing some stories from tour. It's always fun getting some insight. I don't necessarily want to share those on the podcast. I wish I could, but it's just always provides entertainment, I'll say the least. So that was fun. And then Thursday, I flew out to Vegas for the US Open Championships and or USBC Open Championships, I should say. And whew, it was tough. Bowled the Bowlers Journal, which is like a side event on Friday. And I had the ultimate over under, and I've bowled on a lot of tough patterns in my life, a lot of 1.6 to ones, a lot of 1.2 to ones, 1 to 1s, US Open, Red Square, like some of the toughest patterns that I've known. I bowled on 27 feet before in my life. The BJ squad that I bowled, I could not believe how good I had to be, and I don't know why that was. The guys that I bowled with were kind of in the same zone for the entire day, or for all three games, and I couldn't find anything. So I averaged like 165, 170 during that squad. It was not pretty at all. And I wish I could go back and rewatch what I did, because I don't know where I would have played differently. I don't know what I would have done differently. So that was tough. Anyways, move on to Sunday where we bowled teams. I bowled pretty decently. I will say that. Didn't miss a single pin. I missed two makeables. I chopped the 2-5 and the 5-9. So two pretty easy choppable spares. I hooked at both. I probably should have thrown straight at both. That's my own doing. But when you see friction and you have a decent look, you think that's what it is. So overall performance was okay. Doubles, I didn't bowl that great. I shot 530 or 520, I think. So again, not great. And then singles, I shot 530, which obviously isn't great. It's like a total of 1630 for my first nationals. Not great. Not really where I should have been. The one thing I will say that I'm very proud of myself is that most of my games, I would say 8 of the 9 games that I bowled for team doubles and singles, the first five frames were clean. I was spare, 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 strike, spare, something like that, some sort of combination. It was into the later part of the game where I'm like, I need to try and throw a strike, where I would have one or two costly opens in like the seventh and the ninth frame, or the seventh and the 10th frame, eighth and 10th frame. Like, I was literally, I'd say, one shot away from averaging about 190, 200 out there. It was just the fact that I didn't strike enough. I was making a ton of spares, which was fantastic for me. I mean, everybody's who listens knows the struggles that I've had with my spare shooting. To go out there and have a pretty good, I would say like a B plus maybe spare shooting weekend for 15 games, like I'm pretty content with that. Like that's fine by me. So it was one of those situations I wish I would have struck more. I wish I would have found out how to strike more out there, but overall, I'm not overly upset. Thankfully, the tables were pretty good for us. Got to see some of my favorite places. I'm a huge poker fan, so I got to go to Aria, where there's a lot of pro poker events held. The World Series of Poker has been held there. Poker After Dark is held there. So it was really cool to just be in Vegas, see some people I haven't seen in a while, get to go to the strip. It was honestly a great time. I really want to go back out to Vegas, not for bowling, but just to have a small vacation there. But yeah, it's been an insane week for me. Even on the Monday, like last week, I went and saw Connor Price live in concert. So if you guys don't listen to Connor Price's music, make sure you head on over to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your music. Look up Connor Price. The dude is amazing. Got to meet him and everything. So yeah, it's been a crazy week, but now we're back to normal life, back to doing the podcast, and we'll see what league and the rest of the week brings on for me.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you had fun on your trip and you spare shooting. Yeah, you've been struggling, so that's good that you were able to, pick up your game there when it comes to that. And yeah, everyone who listens to this podcast, they listen to Connor Price because he does the intro theme, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it was pretty cool to meet him and everything. But like I said, back to real life, and man, I was living like a bachelor slash celebrity for like a week and a half, and it was fantastic. So I'm gonna try and recreate that a few more times this year for sure.
That's awesome, man. All righty. Well, we had a pretty busy week of bowling, but so did the regionals. So we're going to hop into our weekend recap, which of course is brought to us by Buddy's Pro Shop. Head on over to buddiesproshop.com. Check out the Get My Specs section where you can send in one of your current balls with and they will copy your fit over to your new ball. So everything's fitting great and fitting the same. They also have the Bowler of the Week and Month programs. Go over to Buddy's Pro Shop on Facebook to check out more on how you can enter those contests and be eligible to win some Buddy's merch or a free bowling ball. So we have a lot of regionals to run down. So we're just going to give you the winners of each one this week. So the first one we had a PBA 50 Team Walton Classic. The winner here was Alan Pomato, winning $2,000. The PBA 50 Santa Maria Open. The winner was Clay Reese, winning $2,100. They had the PBA Women's Santa Maria Open. This one was won by Caitlin Abigania, winning $700. Then we had the PBA Santa Maria Open. These were all held at the same center at the same time or same weekend. The winner of this one was PJ Haggerty, winning $2,500. And the PBA Copperfield Southwest Challenge, which was a non-champs event, won by Jacob Lasifko, winning $2,400 there. And then this past weekend, we had three more regionals. We had the PBA Bowlers Discount Pro Shop Open, which was won by Brent Boho. And then we had the PBA Strikers Classic, won by Michael Kennedy, $1,400 for that win. And the PBA Strikers Open, which was won by Michael Fitzgerald, and he took home $3,000 for that win.
Wow. Yeah. So congratulations to all those winners. Obviously, there's a lot of tournaments going on, World Series of Bowling. It's been 2 weeks since our last episode, but that's eight regionals. That's pretty solid. Well, the tour is like in full effect right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to see Brent Boho. He struggled there on the PTQ, but he was able to go out and win a regional.
Exactly. So yeah, like I said, shout out to all those winners. Of course, there's a few other tournaments. Again, I've been busy, so if I miss a tournament that you guys bowled in, please feel free to reach out to me. Let me know who won, where you bowled, and we can cover it from there. So we had Jerry Mars winning the April Scratch Eliminator at Lakeside Recreation Center. So Jerry Mars is a pretty great bowler in his own right. So great to see him get a W there. We had Kara Mangiova. She won the New York State Queens Championship. So Kara's been a great bowler. I've known her since college. So great to see her get a win. We had this family, Miss Linda Barnes. She won the Golden Ladies Classic Championship. So obviously Linda is a Hall of Famer in her own right, along with her husband Chris Barnes, and obviously Ryan Barnes coming up the way now. So shout out to Linda for that win. We had past guest of the podcast, Dari Pyok. She won the Utah State USBC Women's Tournament. So amazing for her to bowl pretty well. Obviously, the PWBA tour is right around the corner, and I cannot wait for that. So big shout out to Daria for that one. We had Dimitri Cruz and Rick Justice. They won the second annual Don Simmons Memorial Doubles Championship in Amarillo, Texas. And of course, this is a Motive podcast. So we had RJ Martinez and Brandon Boyer. They won the John Dressel doubles tournament for $2,000, which is pretty solid, a grand each. And yeah, just great to see those motive balls be striking. So obviously pretty decent for tournaments. But like I said, if I've missed any tournaments, please reach out to me, let me know, and we can get it mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah, lots of good tournaments going on. So, congrats to all our winners.
Yeah, and on top of that, obviously we have an announcement. So the PBA 2024 Hall of Fame class has been honored or will be honored this month. So we have John Weber for his meritorious service. Obviously, John Weber, a longtime commissioner on the PBA tour. We had Steve Jaros, obviously past PBA champion. I think Steve probably has a major, obviously a mainstay on the PBA tour for a very long time. He is in the Hall of Fame for under the veterans category. We had Tom Hess, obviously one of our favorite people for the podcast. He is into the Hall of Fame for the PBA 50 performance. And then we also have Bill and Barb Chrisman being inducted into the PBA Hall of Fame for their meritorious service. So obviously, the late Bill Chrisman has done so much for bowling. And then obviously Barb will continue on his legend and legacy. So, just a huge congratulations to all of those that are now being inducted into the PBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's awesome. All well deserved. Congratulations.
Exactly. So, as we usually do, we have a BTM or a bowling this month quote, and this is from Heather Sterner, and this is keeping bowling knees healthy. And boy, do we have basically case A and case B for this. So the quote is, in this case of knee issues, the health and movement efficiency of the ankles and hips also need to be addressed. So Kurt, you are a walking billboard for this. What's your take on this quote?
Yeah, absolutely. They're all connected. I always think, if there's something wrong with any of your joints, it always traces back to the big joint. So if you're feeling some knee issues, it's probably going to start in your hip, but it's always going to affect down the leg. So if your hip's bugging you, then your knee's not doing something right and your ankle's not doing something right either. So yeah, you need to address all the joints that are connected there in order to fix the issues.
Absolutely. And I just, like I said, I just bowled USBC Nationals, and my buddy Grant that I was with, one of my best friends, he wears a knee brace. Him and I used to both wear a knee brace in college. He's had some surgery on his knees. Like, he is an old man, and I used to wear a knee brace all the time. And I stopped wearing my knee brace a couple years ago, probably a little bit sooner than what I should have. But I've really learned throughout working out and just being more active is like, yeah, it's all connected. So even when I'm playing soccer this summer, like, I make sure to stretch my hips and my ankles. If you guys ever see me bowl, I'm doing a ton of stretching because I need to, and because it helps, with those joints and alleviates some of the pain from the knee. So I think that it's one of those things in bowling. We always talk about how everything is connected, and same with bowling, like your approach, your release. Everything, the lane play is all connected. It's the same with your body, right? It may be your knee that's sore, but maybe you need to work on your ankles, your hips, and everything that's attached to that first, and kind of create more alleviation for the pain that you are seeing in a specific part of your body.
Yep, I can totally agree with that.
Yeah. So that was a good quote, obviously. And again, Heather is a past guest of the podcast. So if you guys have not listened to that episode, make sure you go back and listen to the episode with her. And she gets more deep dove. She dives more deep into the overall fitness and performance of health when it comes to bowling.
Trivia?
Sure.
All right. So it is now my time to stump DJ with trivia. I think I got him. I think I'm gonna get him this week. It's just one answer here. So the question really is in so it's the 1600 that sorry the $16,500 Empire State PBA Open was the first ever PBA event. In which year was this held?
I'm trying to picture the PBA logo because I think the PBA was established in 62, I want to say. I think it's got a six in it. Gosh, that's pretty tough. I want to say it's like 62 or 63. I feel like, oh my gosh. Picture the PBA logo, DJ. And you know what? Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of cheated a little bit there. I'm looking up at my chameleon jersey that has the PBA logo on it, but the PBA logo is on the other side of the jersey. It's on the wrong sleeve that I'm staring at. So is it 50? Oh my gosh. No, the 50 greatest players was in 2012. I'm gonna say 1962.
1962 is wrong.
Oh, what year was it?
We can do strike one if you want to keep guessing.
I'm literally going to guess 1963.
No.
And the next guess would be 67.
It is 1959.
Wow, I didn't. Is that the logo for the PBA? Does it say established in 1959?
I mean, I'm on their Instagram right now and I don't see the year on the logo.
Okay, so maybe I was just imagining that it was on the logo. So it was in
I think it's on, it
1959.
was on former logos.
Okay. So when or do you have written down who won that tournament?
I do not have who won it. I just have the actual date, which it was on a Friday, and it
Okay.
was May 22nd. I'm not sure if it was multiple day event or just a one day, but May 22nd, 1959 was what I found as the first PBA event.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a great trivia question. I like I said, I just found it. So the PBA's old logo had established in 1958. So if I would have
Oh,
remembered that,
okay.
I still would have been wrong. But either
Well, they
way,
may have established the PBA then and didn't have their first event until
till
54.
1959. Yeah,
Yeah.
that would make sense. Wow, that's a good question. That's a really good trivia question.
Yeah.
Huh, I might have to go over and talk to some of the pros and see if they can any of them can answer that.
Yeah, I bet you they would struggle with it too.
I bet you somebody, I bet you Barnes would know. I bet you if I asked TJ or Barnes, they would absolutely know.
Yeah.
So, no, great question. Like I said, we're just doing a shorter episode this week. Obviously, like I said, we have the interview with Mikey coming up. We're going to do a much bigger episode next week where we recap the entire World Series of Bowling, where we go over all the animal patterns. So make sure you guys stick around for that. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about what we saw at the PTQ and about the stuff that we saw at the Cheetah Championship. And I'll deep dive a little bit more into just talking with some of the pros and what they had to say on this. But of course, like I mentioned earlier, we have the brand new extended contract with Manscaped. So again, thank you for everybody who has purchased anything under the Manscaped code using OTG20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. And of course, you know, the interview with Mikey is brought to you guys by Turbo Grips. So if you guys are looking for the best accessories on the market, make sure you head on over to turbogrips.com for chamois, ice quad twos, backpacks, three ball bags, whatever you guys may need. Turbo's got you covered. And of course, if you guys want to go get a lesson, you can head on over to Turbo Tech in Chesterfield, Michigan, and they will get you all set up. But like I said, make sure you guys stick around to newly TV finalist Mr. Mikey Slaybaugh as we discuss what it was like for him to make his first TV show. And as always, thanks, Kurt.
Thanks, DJ.
All right, everyone, I had to get him on. You know, this guy went out there and proved himself to the world, to himself, to everybody listening, exactly how good he was. Of course, we had to have Mikey on. Mikey, hey, dude.
What's up, DJ?
Not much, dude. First off, obviously, you know, we've been texting a little bit. Just want to say, so proud of you, dude. It was so cool to see you on TV. One of the coolest things that I think with the podcast, at least, is this is a reason why we started the podcast, right? We wanted to start the podcast to talk about bowling, talk about people who people, you know, the listeners may know, but they may not know, but also to follow each other's journeys, like see where this was all going to take us and everything like that. And you know, unfortunately, seems like forever ago, you said, "Hey, I can't do the podcast anymore. I don't have time. I have to focus on bowling. I want to make a giant push for bowling. I really want to dedicate as much time as possible to bowling as I can." And this week happened, and I think that that goes beyond belief of what anybody can say and anybody can ever doubt you saying, "Hey, you put your work in, you called yourself out saying, listen, I'm gonna do this," and you just made your first TV show. So what was it like for you to finally get on TV? What was it like for you to have that amazing week at the Cheetah Championship?
It's funny. Elizabeth and I, before we came to the World Series, I told her that I'm finally at peace if I never make a run in a big event. I'm at peace with it. If I never make a show, if I never cash in any PBA national event, I'm at peace because I have found that I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of. And if I just can't put it together on one given week, then I just can't do it. And I was okay with that because I knew deep down how good I was and what I was capable of. And then sure, as soon as, I get a piece of part and a piece of mind, I come out and have the week I did this week at the World Series, which is kind of funny. So.
And I mean, as we're recording this, this is Tuesday night. So Mikey literally was just on TV last night. Still has the world match play left to go. But you said something when you first got on TV show, when you first threw your shot, you're like, this is everything you've dreamt of, or something along those lines. So how much adrenaline did you have going through your body that first shot? How nervous were you for that first shot? Like, what point throughout the day, because I know that you're a very routine based person. At what point during the day did you start to feel those nerves? Did you start to be like, uh-oh, like we're getting closer kind of thing?
11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, and why is
It
that?
started at 11. Oh, it so the whole here's what stinks about Cheetah. I made the show on Tuesday. I had to go bowl 30 more games, and I still had another week to get through before we got to the show. So for me, it didn't set in because I had so much other work to do. I still had the world championship to bowl for. And I still made two good runs at the other patterns that, I wasn't really out of either one of them. Probably like the last block. And so for me, I still had a whole bunch of bowling to do. So like the feeling of making the show kind of got numb. And until Monday when we woke up, I went to bed pretty easy on Sunday night. But then when I woke up Monday morning, I just like it like hit me. Today's the day, man. I get to go bowl on Fox Sports 1 for a national tour title. This is it. And so this is really funny to talk about me being schedule oriented when it comes to my bowling, and I am. But I couldn't sit here any longer. Elizabeth and I were sitting here trying to play games and pass time. I was so antsy. I just said, we have to get out of this place because I'm going to go insane. So I went, we got dressed. We went to Costco. We made a Costco run. We went and found a Herbalife tea place. We went and got some tea, some mega tea. Shout out to Patty D. And just wasted time until we can go. And I was going to plan on getting there at 4. We got there at 3:03. So I got there a full 57 minutes earlier than when I wanted to be there. But I also wanted to just like absorb the whole day. And I really just wanted to get there and see the setup. I wanted to be in the surroundings. I kind of want to get an idea of what the lights were going to be like. And so we actually, when we got there, we spent about a good 45 minutes just sitting there, sitting in the arena, just watching them set up, get ready for the broadcast, and just kind of soak it all in. And it was awesome.
I mean, it was incredible, like, again, to see you on TV. But and like you just said, you were texting and you're like, yeah, job's not done yet. And you're like, I still have another tournament to go. Like, I still have another tournament to go, and you have the World Series to go for. And it's just like, yeah, when you're in that situation, especially for somebody like yourself, and coming from a show that had four people on there or three people on the first telecast ever, it's like, these guys are all going through the same thing. It's like, yeah, they made their first show, but guess what? You still have so much bowling left to go. Like, you cannot focus on the show. And it's one of those things that in bowling, you have to be short-minded in a way, right? Both good and bad. If you miss a spare, you got to be short-minded, forget about it. In your case, it's like, or anybody's case, if they, eight pin or whatever they open to miss a show, they have to forget about that and leave it there, because the next morning they're waking up on a different pattern. They got to go out and try to make another show. So it was very interesting, the dynamic that I think you guys all went through as first timers on a TV show. So let's talk about the match play real quick. What was it like for you to be in match play? You had an absolute nut. You made the 7-10 in there. Like, what was it like for you to have the run in match play that you did?
Well, for me, the past couple of years, I've really started to grow mentally when it comes to the one-on-one stuff. I'm not saying that I'm a secret assassin killer in match play. I'm not one of those type of guys, but I found that I have a huge comfort zone in match play when it's mano-a-mano, you and me, because I guess we just kind of talked about this. I know my capabilities, and when we get in match play, I'm just like, I think if I throw it the best I can still beat you at the best you can. And I know that's maybe a little cocky, a little arrogant, but that's kind of what you have sometimes to keep your head locked into what you're doing. And what helped me out a lot in match play against BJ and against Nick Pate is that I knew that I was going to be able to stay in the same rock and do the same thing all five games of our match play. And I knew my look was good for 240 at least. That means that they had to show up and make something happen. And at that point in time, I'm just like, all right, let's go game on. Like, bring it. And sure enough, it took 250 from BJ to beat me in game two, which was the only game I lost. In all the other games, I had the look. And people made comments to me saying I had the world, and they are right, I did. And you know what's something great about that BJ? I didn't have to think about throwing the ball in a certain direction. All I knew, if I pointed it right off my hand and I hit it as hard as I could, there's a good chance it was going to strike. And I took advantage of it. And I will tell anybody, if you have the look, if it is your day, Don't think about it. Just throw the stupid ball and let the lane take care of the rest. And that's
Absolutely.
exactly what I did in that play. So.
Yeah, and like you said, you had the confidence to know that in your equipment you had exactly what you needed. And you know, anybody that wants to jump on Mikey for that, go ahead. I mean, you know, we've talked about it a lot. Like even Boog on the TV show had the world. It was his day, right? Mikey, same thing. Like you knew what you had. You knew that you had it. It was just a matter of literally just the smallest little thing that you had to do in a way, and you did that efficiently. And you know, we just got done watching the Scorpion Championship with Matt Russo. Matt Russo, during qualifying, during match play, during the TV show, never missed. Like the dude struck so much. And it's just one of those things that when you match up with a pattern, with the ball, with a venue, whatever it may be, when you match up, and it makes things way easier than what you can ever imagine. So, yeah, you had a great performance in match play, and like you said, you had the confidence to do that. So you make it to the TV show. Obviously, I think you guys get what, like an hour or two of practice on the lanes before like the actual telecast.
So we get an hour of total practice, 30 minutes from a pair off to the side, and then we get 30 minutes on TV pair. And this, so I'm gonna kind of get into the whole story about the pat or to my match and why I made the decision I did. So we went 30 minutes over to the side, and when we got our 30 minutes on the TV pair, I went, and this is not an exaggeration, Brett Spangler and the other reps can back me up on this statement. From minute 25 to we were done, I didn't miss once. I didn't miss a single time for 25 minutes. And I threw two different tank rampages. They both look phenomenal. And in my mind, having that practice session and knowing what I did all week, I ain't changing nothing. I'm not doing a stinking thing different in my match. To the point where DJ started, or BJ, I'm sorry, not DJ, BJ Moore laughed at me because he's like, I guess we just pack up now and leave. You ain't gonna miss. And I was like, I'll say that now until about, 300 people come in here. So, I think when we got to, you want me to get into the match now and kind of talk about
Yeah,
what happened?
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we go from there. I go back over. People start flooding in. And then my anxiety that was already at 110% just ramped up to 225.
Okay.
And I kind of sat there. I was soaking up each match, listening to the crowd, watching the bowling as much as I could from the side, and just getting ready because for me, I kind of knew I'm probably not going to ace every shot, but I'm going to enjoy every shot no matter what happens. And so people made some comments to me about me smiling all the time. I didn't really look locked in. Believe me, I was as locked in as I could be in that moment, but I was soaking it. I was living my dream. And so when we got to my eight shots before I started bowling, I got eight shots total, so I took four on each. I saw that they were definitely tighter, but every time they got this tight in the other bay, I was able to tempo down and go more forward off my hand, and my look actually got better because I no longer had to worry about like a 4-9 for me going through sideways off of it. It was just a flat 10. And so I was very, very optimistic to get to this pair now. What happens then is the lights come on and you make that first shot and it just happens to strike. And I think that may have been the worst thing that could have happened for me in that instinct or that instance, because when I struck and everybody went crazy, because the place in my mind was vibrating. Like it was nuts. I think I'm pretty sure I had like 15 or 20 people that drove 3 hours from back home to come watch me bowl. I had a whole bunch of family there. It was sick. And then my very next shot, I'm shaking so bad I don't know what my feet are doing. I can't feel the floor, DJ. I didn't know what was going on. And that second shot in the second frame, my fingers and thumb came out of the ball the exact same time. And that's when you start seeing me start doing the wheel thing. So I'm like, ah, man, I'm gonna hit the head 10, and sure enough, it didn't. But the rest of the match, then I kind of settled down. If anybody can go back and watch, my ball speed was about a half mile an hour too fast compared to what I was doing the rest of the week. That's just from being amped up. It's the environment. It's what you're a part of. And then finally, the shots that I do like a lot. Rep 10, and then the one through the face in the would have been the sixth or seventh frame off the commercial break. It was dead ace. And a lot of my friends back home are like, should have changed balls, should have tried reactive. I averaged 240 all week with my eyes closed and probably with a bum left leg with that ball reaction. And when it comes down to my first show and knowing what I was able to do with it all week, I ain't going away from that. And I'm sorry. And if you go back and then watch the title match, it's not like Marshall had the absolute world was reactive either. He still had to split hairs to get the ball to go through the pins. So I don't regret my decision at all. I got Doherty beat by 60 pins, so I feel like we're in the clear here for the first television show. But I will say, now knowing the environment and what happened and what I kind of missed, and on top of like I didn't know that those lane surfaces were brand new. So like getting the ball to slow down a little bit sooner. You were making the comment that you said it needed to slow down about 2 feet sooner.
Yeah.
That was the problem. That's why in the main bay, I was getting those flat tens to carry because I could get the ball to slow down just a couple feet sooner. Where in the arena bay with the new surfaces, not as much friction built in yet. Couldn't get the ball to slow down as much. And so now after this showing and knowing what we were able to kind of gather information-wise, I am stoked to get out for the World Championship match play and run down another show. Because knowing now the environment, what I'm going to be under, the lights, what everything's like, I am so jacked to get back underneath those lights and get to that stage again because it's going to be a completely different story.
Yeah, and there's, like you said, there's a new motivation for you. And for everybody listening, if you guys don't realize this, so Thunderbowl is basically three sections. So they have like a party high-end section, they have their main bay, and then they have their arena. And the arena was recently just redone. And that's where Mikey's talking about like the new surfaces, is that it's at a completely different part from the main portion of where match play and qualifying is held. And it's one of those things, I guess, like as a local or as bowlers, that if you know Thunderbowl, you know that those different places do play differently. But again, you had Brian Nicodemus there, you had Brett Spangler there, you had yourself there, you had a lot of eyes watching you. And like you said, you were averaging 240 for the week with those bowling balls. You're not going to change from that. It's a 12 shot match, it's a 10 frame match, and that goes by quick when you're on TV. And you talk to any pro bowler, they're like, it's the quickest game that you'll ever bowl in your entire life because you have so much adrenaline and you're just trying to focus so hard on the next shot. And then there's two shots and you're up, you're like, what just happened? So, yeah, I don't think that anybody listening should be telling you what to do or what you should have done differently. I think that it comes down to, like you said, maybe a little bit of knowledge, maybe understanding, hey, I should have maybe strapped on it a little bit more. Maybe I should have got a little forward with it and got it to the friction sooner, so that way it rolls out a little bit sooner instead of being so angular down lane and not catching so much oil in the front. Again, that's pretty technical of what we could get into as far as what the adjustment could have been. But like you said, you made your first TV show, you've been there, you know exactly what it's like.
Can I just say one thing for the record so people know?
Sure.
People ask, if you go back and redo it, what would you do differently? And I would just tell them I'd tempo down, I'd be more forward, but that wouldn't change the outcome of the match. It may change the outcome of my score, but I don't think I'm beating Dio. The right was just soupy. It was really, really messy. And Dio was locked. I went back and watched, I've rewatched my match now like four or five times just because I'm a nerd. But you guys go back and watch Dio, he labeled every single shot. The kid was just on. And when it's your night and you're able to just sit there, zone out, and just absolutely label him, you're going to be impossible to beat. And Dio was in his groove, man. He was doing his thing. So I love that kid. Hats off to him. It was awesome to get to bowl with him, all those guys. But no, I don't think if I could go back and change anything, it would actually make a difference in the outcome. I just think that it would save 160. I don't think it'd be quite that low.
Maybe a 210, maybe 220 game. But yeah, like you said, I mean, obviously hats off to Dio. He bowled incredibly well for it. As a 20-year-old, it makes it even more disgusting of how it seemed like he was nervous, but you couldn't tell by his ball release, by how he was labeling every shot. It was like, if you're nervous, you're not showing it, at least with your execution. So yeah, like I said, it was a great game. It was a great match. It was amazing to see you on TV. Like I mentioned earlier, everybody, Mikey's got a lot of work still left to do this week. He's got the World Championship match play coming up. But we're gonna have you back on in probably maybe 2 weeks once you're settled in and relaxed and kind of taking a deep breath from everything that went on this week. We'll have you and we'll kind of diagnose each pattern and exactly the whole entire week. But I really hope that you make a run for this world match play. I am gonna try to make it over to you. Is there anything else that you want to say, like, or comment about when it comes to being on your first show and what that was truly like for you?
The first, and I'm going to try to get a post out there later this week, but I just first want to say, if you sent me a message or if you reached out in any way, shape, or form the past week and a half with everything that's going on, and I haven't responded to you, or at least acknowledged your message, I'm truly sorry. I feel like everybody know that before I even left the arena last night to come back home, I had over 240 Facebook notifications along with messages. I had over 100 text messages.
Oh my
And
gosh.
so it was bonkers. So if you think I'm ignoring you, I'm not. It's just crazy. I also just want to give a huge shout out to JoCo Grips and Motive Bowling. To be able to finally get on the main stage underneath the lights with those brands on my shirts, I'm honored to be able to do it. I'm glad I could do it, and I'm blessed to be with these companies. So thank you to JoCo and Motive. And also I want to say thank you to all of our bowling enthusiasts, guys who invest into the sport, people who come out and watch us losers throw bowling balls down the lane. I mean, we need those people, and we're so blessed to have you out there and to give us a show, or give us a reason to put on a show for you. So it was really blessed, and thank you, everybody. It was awesome.
Yeah, dude. Well, like I said, I'm super stoked that you made a TV show. I'm super stoked to see what the rest of the season looks like. And yeah, hopefully I'll see you Thursday and we'll get you back on in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, how about I come back on after I run down that World Championship show?
Let's do it, dude. That's what I'm here for. Mikey, of course, thanks for jumping on. And everybody listening, stick around next week for another episode of On the Gutter. Thanks, Mikey.
DJ.